We're going to continue our service in the story of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. It is Easter. Oh, my goodness. We've had a very good morning. We had a sunrise service, and the sun peeked out a little bit. We were praying all week that it would not be cloudy, and the Lord came through, and then we had an egg hunt for all the kids, which was really fun, which leads me into, my name is Rebecca. I'm the kids minister here, for those of you who don't know me. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who do know me, I am clearly not Matt, and like you heard, he is out sick, and so I got tapped in to preach a little bit today, and so we're going to keep it short and sweet, and then sing a few more songs. Sound good? All right. I'm also going to try to do this slow, because when I get nervous, I talk really fast, so take a breath. So yesterday, when I sat down to come up with what I needed to talk about today, I thought it would be easy. You know, it's Easter Sunday. It's the basis of our faith. It'd be easy to talk about grace and mercy and Jesus dying and resurrecting. But as I sat there at my coffee table with my laptop and my Bible, all I could think about was Saturday. Saturday, the day the disciples had their faith shook. Saturday, the day that it looked like death had won. Saturday, the day that all the lies the disciples had been brushing off their backs finally started creeping in. Doubt, confusion, anger. Saturday. Jesus was crucified on Friday, and then the next day the disciples woke up and he was still gone. The levels of hope among the disciples were probably insanely low. They were probably wondering if they had wasted the last 3 years of their life following around this crazy man. And then on top of all of that, they were mourning the death of their very best friend. Traditionally, Easter sermons are very celebratory, and we've had a lot of that with all the confetti, and we're going to continue to have all of that, but I just wanted to take a moment to stop and think about Saturday. Because I think that's prevalent to our church right now, and I think it also makes celebration just that much sweeter. For those of you who don't know, our church is kind of in this like transition-ish kind of season. We're meeting with leaders and discerning and just learning who we want to be, how we want to show up in the neighborhood, what our values are, and we've been talking about this a lot as a church. And I know that for people who have been here for 10, 15, 20 years, that can be hard, and I've seen that be hard because we're changing and we're molding, right? And change is scary, very scary. And then just like on our staff alone, we've had so many health issues in the past few weeks. I mean, Matt is gone. He's sick. He also hurt his thumb, which is not fun. Adolfo has been having surgery on his foot ankle situation. Aurora broke her hand last week. Maggie has been fighting a terrible eye infection for the past couple of weeks that has come back. And then I have a pinched nerve in my leg that usually is kind of dormant, but it has just been on fire lately. And so we've just been fighting a lot. The thing is, it is very easy to have grief and confusion and anger and all of these things that I just listed. God's promised healing and health and redemption, but from where I'm standing, it can be hard to see that, especially when I'm operating out of my own strength. And maybe that's relatable to you. Maybe you've lost your job, or you've had a death of someone close to you, or life is just kicking you while you're down. And there's confusion in that, right? Because you hear all these people talking about being a Christian, and they use these like really pretty words like grace and mercy and love. And while that is absolutely true, being a Christian also is full of words like lament and weeping and loss. And that sucks. And that's where we meet Mary Magdalene in the story that we're talking about today. To set the scene, Jesus died. He's been nailed to the cross, he suffocated, he was pulled down and placed in a big tomb, and then a rock was rolled over the entrance. And then in John 20, in verse 1, like we read, it says, early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw the stone was rolled away. We use that phrase a lot. We sing it, the stone was rolled away. There's a bunch of songs. Jesus was raised from the dead, he's not in the tomb, that's something to celebrate. But I'm so sure that Mary's stomach dropped when she saw that tomb open. She rushed to the others that Jesus loved and exclaimed that they took Jesus' body. She was in dread, a crying mess, feeling the loss all over again. Starting in verse 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken away my Lord,' she said, 'and I don't know where they put him.'" Mary is still on Saturday. She's grieving and hurt, and these angels are asking stupid questions, and she's weeping, and I feel like I would have yelled those words, "They've taken my Lord away. Where did you put him?" She was so confused and angry, and I don't know, I probably would have felt a little bit betrayed. But Saturday is not the end of the week. Saturday is not when the world ends. Saturday is the in between. There's more on the other side. Verses 14 through 16 says, "At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?' Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me where you've put him and I will get him.' And then Jesus said to her, 'Mary, Mary,' he said, and she knew. She turned and cried out, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. He called her name, and suddenly Saturday was shattered and Sunday was born anew. The man who conquered death called her by name. 'Mary,' he said, and she knew. The one who made promises, the one who could wipe tears, the one who would give her hope, the one who was her friend, came back to her. 'Mary,' he said, and she knew. She knew that she wasn't alone anymore. She knew his voice. She knew by the way that he said her name that it was Jesus. Jesus had probably called her name hundreds of times over the past 3 years. In the Bible, Mary Magdalene's name is written 12 times, which makes it used more than most of the apostles. They were friends. They were close. She knew how Jesus said her name. Their relationship was built on a deep intimacy. And we can know him that deeply too. We can feel the same relief as Mary did by just having Jesus come into our darkness and say our name. Jesus calling Mary's name didn't make the pain of Saturday void. It didn't erase all the weeping and confusion and anger, but it made those things not be the end of the story. As I said earlier, I have like a pinched nerve in my leg, and it might not be healed on this side of heaven. I might just always be in pain. It's chronically pinched, so it just might be there my whole life. But when Jesus comes into my situation and he holds my hand and he says my name and he says, I know your pain and I'm back and I'm here to wipe your tears, I have a better attitude about it. Jesus knowing me, being beside me, changes my heart. He gives me hope. He shows me light where I can only see darkness. Jesus loved us enough to die on the cross, to suffer for our sins, to take upon beatings that he did not deserve. But it wasn't just that. He loved us enough to not leave us after the saving because he knows our name. He knows us. Mary, he said, and she knew. We love a Savior who calls us by name, who looks at us when we can't even recognize him because we've been hurt so badly, and he calls us by name. In the midst of Saturday, he is calling from the victory of Sunday. He says, Tom, I know your name, and I hold your hand through everything. He says, Rachel, I know your name and I love every part of you. He says, Janice, I know your name and it's going to be okay. During Lent, I was fasting on Wednesdays. So from like Tuesday sundown to Wednesday sundown, I would not eat any food. And that was a tough time for me, especially when the time changed because it then went from like eating dinner at 5 to like 7 because that's when this, anyways, it was just like, it was tough. It was tough. But to get me through the day, I found that if I had hope that I was going to have food at dinner time, whenever the sun set, and if I could just focus on the hope, not even the food, just the hope that the food will be there and I will get to eat it, it stifled so much of my hunger. I could make it through the day easily if I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get to eat dinner. It'll be fine. And how much is that true for our Saturday? How much easier is Saturday when you know what Sunday holds? We live in a reality where two things are true. That Sunday has come and it's still coming. Jesus conquered death, he won. And now there's a promise for eternal life with him where all tears will be dried and all heartaches will be mended. And how much hope does that hope sustain our current trials? I can find joy in the midst of Saturday weeping of my leg or the changes in the church or the healing that's not happening or the healing that is happening because Jesus is calling my name and he's been calling my name since Mary. There's now hope there because he saw me on the cross and died for my sins so that we could be together eternally. There's now hope there because my hardships won't be buried alone. There's now hope there because he can walk into my situation and fix it or ride the storm beside me. And usually when he rides the storm beside me, he bears most of the pain that comes. Because that's who he is. And the same is true for you. He knows your pain. He's telling you that there's joy and peace on the other side. You just have to have hope that this current darkness is not the end. He is good, and he's not going to leave us here. The even cooler thing about this is that all you have to do to gain this kind of hope is to ask Jesus to be your Savior, and he'll do it. He'll come into the midst of your Saturday because he's been calling your name since the cross, no matter what. And one example that proves this no matter what is the communion meal. The first communion meal, or the Last Supper, they were up in the upper room and Jesus was eating with his disciples. He was eating with two people he knew would betray him, Judas, who sold him out, and that's how he ended up on the cross, and then Peter, who denies him 3 times later in the story. And Jesus calls Peter by name in Luke 22:34, and he tells him, Peter, you're going to deny me. And then verses later, Peter denies him. But Peter was still the rock on which the church was built.